Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We have all kinds of people at North Central. Amen? Amen. And let me say this, all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. I mean, Billy Hart and Megan Herring just got married. I mean, like, just a few hours ago. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, and many watching today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. Amen, church? We all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Good. Grace for Tough Times is the title of today's message from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and following. We have been in this study of Ephesians now for 21 different messages. And during that time, we've learned that the first three chapters of Ephesians is about our position in Christ. In other words, it's about understanding the grace of God. The last three chapters are walking in the grace of God, or the practice, not the position of the believer, but the practice of the believer. See, Paul was in a tough time himself. He had been arrested. He was in prison. He was in jail in Rome, chained to a guard, appealing for his life. It was a time of turmoil for the Apostle Paul. He needed the hand of God. He was reminding the Ephesians of the grace of God and then how they were to live out the Christian life. Ephesus was a place where the gospel was not embraced. It was an abnormality, the gospel was in that city. It was an idolatrous city. It was political. It was a political city, a commercial city, and it was a religious city. The temple to Diana was there in Ephesus, one of the wonders of the known world at that time. To live for Christ was going to take boldness, and it was going to take courage. You would have to understand what God's grace was all about, and you'd have to know how to walk out the grace of God to make it. Church family, we seem to be in turmoil in our world. The problem of injustice is boiled over. Outside of the supernatural grace of God, how can we be united? There is so much in Ephesus about unity. So much in Ephesus about unity. And yet there's so much trying to divide us in our world. And even the church is vulnerable in this. So Paul gives us insight today as to how to live in this type of a challenging circumstance, how to live in this type of a challenging world. And I believe that our passage applies to us in a powerful way. Of course, the Word of God always applies. Amen? It always applies. But in particular, I think it applies in a powerful way today. So let's look at God's Word. I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word, if you'll follow along. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 to the end of the chapter. And for me, and he's talking about prayer because he mentioned it in verse 18. So that carries over the concept in verse 18 to verse 19. So, and for me, in other words, praying for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And in it I may speak, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts. That's a great phrase right there. Then in verse 23, he says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Here's what you need in tough times. Number one, you need prayer, verses 19 and 20. Paul asked God to help him to know what to say and to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. In verse 19, he says that utterance may be given to me. Paul is looking for an opportunity. The word utterance has with the idea that this is an opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in life you have unique opportunities. Now, for Paul, he was in a Roman prison. Remember, he had appealed to Caesar after he had been arrested. So he was of the mindset that soon he was going to go before a judge, and perhaps even before the emperor. And he was saying, I want to have utterance. It has with it the idea there's an opportunity. And listen, sometimes God gives you a unique opportunity to speak, a unique opportunity to have boldness. And he says that utterance will be given to me that I may open my mouth. That's a phrase used for a public defense. So we think that Paul was anticipating a time when he was going to stand before a court of law and he was going to make a defense of his own case. And so he says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known. That means a fearless, confident speaking. So he's praying. We need prayer. You know, one of the things, folks, we need prayer. And he's saying, you need prayer. And he's saying to the people of Ephesus, pray for me that I would have boldness. No doubt the apostle is thinking especially of his appearance before the imperial authorities, perhaps even the emperor. He had been chosen to carry the name of Jesus before Gentiles and kings, Acts 9:15 says. Then in verse 19, look at that. In verse 19, it says there, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly, clearly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what the mystery of the gospel is? And boy, this is a word we need in the American church. This is the word we need in our world today. The mystery of the gospel. Remember, we studied the mystery of the gospel back in Ephesians 2 and 3. The mystery of the gospel is the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles, different people, could come together in the church. That was the mystery of the gospel. And Paul is saying, pray for me that I may boldly be able to share the mystery of the gospel, the coming together of the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Now, Dr. Warren Wiersbe notes this. He says, note that he didn't pray for his comfort, but for his witness. He didn't say, hey, pray for me, this is really tough. Pray for me, I'm in prison over here, this is really tough. No, he said, pray that in this opportunity that God may give me boldness. And then he says in verse 20, I am an ambassador in chains, literally an ambassador in chains. Some think that he was referring to the fact that he was handcuffed to a Roman guard. And so he says, in verse 20, which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. It carries with it the idea, not only as it is incumbent upon me, but in the way that I ought. Pray for boldness that I would speak what I ought to speak, is what he's saying. You know, he's talking about the mystery of the gospel. Church family, you know, only Christ can put people that are of different backgrounds together. Only Jesus Christ can cause that kind of unity like we have in our church here and the family that we have here. You know, Chris and Katarina are from First Baptist. Their home church, well, I'm going to say their home church is North Central. Amen? I just want to say. But they come from Naples, okay? And they're years ago, the man who started Prison Fellowship was in their church. His name is Chuck Colson. And he would always tell a story about how that one time the President of the United States was participating in a ministry of Prison Fellowship where they brought gifts to the children of prisoners, people that were incarcerated. And he said that the president was there. and he was helping pass out the gifts. And Colson says he introduced the president to a man on his staff who happened to be a black man. His name was Al Lawrence. And Al, he said, "Mr. President, this is Al Lawrence." And Al has his oldest son going to Yale. And Colson says, at that moment, that president said, "Well, I'm a Yale dad too," and reached over and put a big bear hug on Al Lawrence. Now, this guy who was working for Chuck Colson in prison fellowship and the most powerful man in the world at that time were hugging, and Colson said this, "You know, it's the gospel that makes everything level at the foot of the cross. And Jesus Christ is the one that does that. That's the mystery of the gospel." Listen, in our hurting world right now, church family, we have a message to proclaim. And the message is that Jesus Christ, that mystery is that the gospel can put all people together. So Paul is asking for prayer, and you and I need prayer, all right? That's the first thing. We need prayer. The second thing, faithful friends and co-laborers. Now, he goes into two verses, verses 21 and 22, and he talks about this man, Tychicus. Say that, Tychicus. I told the worship team this morning, I've always wanted to have a son named Tychicus. Not really. But anyway, Tychicus was the apostle's personal representative to the churches in Colossae, in Ephesus. And assuming that Ephesians was a circular letter, which we know it was to revolve around to the other churches in Asia at that time, so he was a personal representative to all those churches representing Paul. In other words, he was a faithful man in Paul's life. In verse 21, he says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, my beloved brother," and he gives him an endearing term, "my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you." He was a native. Tychicus was a native of that part of the world in modern-day Turkey, in Asia. And so he sent him to comfort the people and to tell them how he was doing. It says that he may comfort your hearts, verse 22. That phrase, to comfort your heart, means to put fresh heart into them. He says, "I'm sending this friend to put fresh heart into you guys about my particular situation." Faithful friends and co-laborers. Look around. That's what we have in this room, isn't it? Faithful friends, faithful co-laborers. Mr. Cheshire has some sayings of his, and every once in a while he'll say, "Now, Pastor, if you need anything, just holler out." That's the way he puts it. "Just holler out and I'll come running." I thought about that as we were in this time of just staying at home, and as I would call people, every once in a while I'd call somebody and say, "Now listen, if you need anything, just holler out and we'll come running." That's what a co-laborer is. The greatest fellowship in the world. As a matter of fact, if you're at the end of Ephesians, look over one page of the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, in verse 5, it says, in verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel." There's no camaraderie that is greater than the fellowship we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we need co-laborers. We need faithful friends. We need co-laborers. And Paul emphasizes this at the end of this letter. He says, "I need prayer," but he said, "Let me tell you what else we need. You need faithful friends, and I'm sending one to you. I'm sending Tychicus." I know you've heard my story, but let me just briefly say this. When I got saved, I was in a single-parent home, and my mother and I went to church, but I was not saved until I was a teenage boy. When I got saved, there were five or six guys that captured me. Do you hear me? They captured me. Now, every one of them had intact families. They had all kinds of a support system. They had a great history of their involvement in that church. And I had zero of that. But they became my faithful friends. And they became my co-laborers. And on the stage of North Central Baptist Church in 1982, they lined up as my groomsmen. They were my co-laborers in the gospel. We went visiting together as teenage boys to tell people about Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, everybody needs a comrade. Everybody needs a faithful friend. And I praise God for those guys that captured me. Here's the application to this for you and the application for me. Develop some relationships, folks. Develop some deep relationships. Minister in the gospel. The greatest ministry in the world is ministry related to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, God gives us faithful friends and co-laborers. And Paul is saying, you want grace in tough times, you need prayer, but you need some co-laborers and faithful friends. Here's the last thing. You need a goal. In verse 23 and 24, he says, peace to the brethren. Peace to the brethren. That phrase there, peace to the brethren. Paul longs to see the whole brotherhood of believers in Ephesus and all the regions around that, Jews and Gentiles alike, at peace with each other in the body of Christ. And then he says, love with faith in verse 23. He says, not only peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. Now, in your version, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, it says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I don't know what your version says. Some versions say incorruptible, an incorruptible love. That word literally means in incorruptness. In other words, it's imperishable. This word, this is most likely describing the imperishable incorruptness of all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying that they love our Lord Jesus Christ as already tasting immortality. It's like a longing. When he says that incorruptness, it's like there's a longing. It's like the goal is there's something out there. You know, we need to realize that, folks, we're headed for heaven. This is really not our home. Amen? This is really not our home. We're headed for heaven. And so what is the goal? The goal is that there might be peace among the brethren. There might be love with faith among God's people and a proclaiming of that mystery of the gospel, but then also that there might be a longing for heaven. I conclude with this story, and we're going to worship again. We're going to sing and praise the Lord. Henry Morrison, 40-year veteran missionary, was coming home. He was on a ship. He had served for 40 years on another continent. He had served on the continent of Africa, actually. And he was on a ship coming home into New York Harbor. When he came into New York Harbor, there were crowds. And Henry Morrison said, wow, look at all the people coming to welcome us. We've served for 40 years. And he realized they were on there because the president, Teddy Roosevelt, had been on a big hunting trip in Africa. And he was coming home on that trip. And so the people were not there to see Henry Morrison and his wife, 40-year missionary veterans, but they were there to see Teddy Roosevelt coming back from a big hunting trip. And so that really got under Henry Morrison's skin, and he really had to do business with God about it. He kind of became a little bitter. He said, I don't understand how come that, you know, he's off on a two-week trip, and everybody's here with a band playing and everything, and they all exited, and then Henry Morrison and his wife went down the gangplank, and nobody said a word to them. They found a little rented flat, and they went into that flat. They'd taken a cab to get to the flat, and they went in there, and he was just sulking, and his wife said, honey, you've got to do business about this. You've got to understand. You've got to do business with God about it. You can't live this way. He said, I know it, but I just can't. I have to be honest. I'm mad about it. And he went off into his room, and he got down on his knees. He said, Lord, I'm upset and I'm bitter about this. And later, Henry came out of that room, and he had a grin on his face. And his wife said, honey, what happened? He said, well, I went in there, and I told God how bitter I was about this, how that we'd come home and nobody knew it, nobody seemed to care. And he said, when I told the Lord about it, the Lord kind of whispered in my ear, well, Henry, you're not home yet. Truth be told, there's a lot of you doing things to mend this world with the gospel. And truth be told, you're going to spend maybe your whole life doing everything you can do to mend this world with the mystery of the gospel and the glorious gospel of salvation. Truth be told, nobody may notice but you're not home yet. You're not home yet. And Jesus said you cannot give a cup of water in my name without me knowing it. Heaven knows. Heaven takes note. And so Paul is saying to us, you want grace for tough times, church? And we've got them, don't we? We need prayer for boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And praise God, we can do it with faithful friends and co-laborers. Just seeing your faces today is so encouraging to me. Man, I tell you what, I've been waiting for this day. And then we need a goal: peace among the brethren, love with faith, and then a longing to go home, to know that one day we will be home. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.